Well, as I visited with the kids a little bit ago, it's a little bit more somber feeling as we journey through Lent. All of our messages and readings have a much more somber or sad feeling. However, we know there's a happy ending on Easter morning when we shout to one another, "He is risen, He is risen indeed." But in our short message today, we know that the folks at that time, when Christ was before Pontius Pilate, they did not know this. There was only one person standing there that knew that, and that was Christ. I think it's good for us to take a little bit of time to reflect on what it took to fulfill God's plan of salvation. During Advent and Christmas, we sing praises, "Joy to the World," "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," "Silent Night," and so forth. And then following that through our church year, we follow Christ through his three-year ministry on earth, his selection of disciples, miracles, parables, and then we come to Lent and the mood really changes. I'd like to read that verse again from Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 through 26. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead of an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and our children." And I would repeat that, "Let his blood be on us and our children." It's a fairly short text, but I'm always amazed how the Bible can speak to us in so many ways in short messages. Usually they're like one-liners that Christ mentions. There's one word in this text that stands out above all the others, and it's blood. We all have it. Generally, we don't think much about it, unless an illness or an accident happens. We know it's there. It works along 24/7. We don't want to lose it, and surely we hate it to see it if it's ours. But we also know that it's our life, and that we're just a collection of cells all put together in some marvelous way that God created us. And when we think about what blood does, it carries oxygen to the brain and to all the cells. It carries food to all of the cells. It also carries away all the waste. I have a reference book at home. It's called Knave's Topical Bible. I'm sure many of you probably have one. If you're not, kind of tell you a little bit about it. It's like a Bible dictionary. And if you open it up and you think, gee, someone maybe has had a tough day or a tough problem, and maybe they're sad. So if you look up a word in Knave's Topical Bible like sadness or anything similar to that, it gives you all the Bible passages that you might want to have and to share with that person. So I thought, well, since blood kind of seems to be our topic today, I will just look up the word blood. And obviously, I found several pages of verses with that. And then I was going to count them. And then I started counting, and I just said, no, that's too many. And then I was going to read all of those. But it referred me to like whole chapters of the Bible, like Exodus chapter 25, Numbers chapter 4, Kings, Chronicles, and so on. But I want to share the first entry that I read, and it's from Genesis 9, chapters 4 through 6. God is speaking to Noah after the flood, and he's making a covenant with him. And he says, "You must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. For your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man." I think it's kind of interesting that we have these topics in the Bible, you know, hundreds of years ago, and we hear the word lifeblood there. We still use that word a lot, don't we? If a company has a favorite product that supports them. They call it their lifeblood. If there's a person within a company that is a key person, they call him the lifeblood. I wonder how many people who use those terms today have a clue where it might have come from. It's kind of like Pontius Pilate when Christ was before him. He said, I wash my hands. If I want to proclaim my own innocence of something, I just say, I wash my hands of all of it. It comes from the Bible. It would be great if everyone really realized where that came from. Now, if it seems like I'm dwelling a little bit long on that word blood, we'll go back to our text for today with Christ's appearance before Pilate. And Pilate says, I'm innocent of it. And what does the crowd shout? Let his blood be upon us and our children. They might have well have said our children and our children's children and all the following generations. But I think that maybe have had a more significant meaning to them than to us, because they lived under the law from the time of their birth. So who all was in that crowd? Well, it might have been the Pharisees, Sadducees, members of the Sanhedrin, or just a lot of common people. And at times, they had to come to the temple, and they had to bring sacrifices. And they brought doves and animals, and those sacrifices were slaughtered, and the blood was sprinkled on the altar, and sometimes even on the people. So they really understood the meaning of the blood sacrifices. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, we read, in fact, the law requires that everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I'll repeat that. Keep that thought in mind. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, for the chief priests and elders that were there, members of the Sanhedrin and so forth, what was happening with Christ might have been a monumental change in their life. Change is sometimes difficult to accept, isn't it? We've gone through a little bit of a change in our service. It's been a little difficult for some. And these folks, they might even realize they might lose their jobs if indeed Christ's teachings continued. We remember that so many people thought that he was the Messiah, that he was going to become the leader of Israel, and it would be great again as it was in the days of David and Solomon. But they really didn't understand. But they were concerned, so they shouted, crucify him. And I wonder if they really give much thought to that statement, let his blood be upon us, because if they remembered the covenant with Noah, they would have remembered that if they killed someone, they must atone for this also. Maybe they were just caught up in the frenzy of the moment. We don't know. We do know that they mocked Jesus and then continued to do so even while he was on the cross. We know something now that they didn't know. This was according to God's plan of salvation. It was for us and even for them someday if they accepted Christ as the risen Lord and Savior. So without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without Christ's shedding of his blood, we have no forgiveness. God turned their statement upside down. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Well, it absolutely is, only it washes us clean. Now, our text for today caused me to do a little bit of thinking and a little soul searching too. I was confirmed at about age 12 or 13. Which means I've been coming to the Lord's table for communion for about 70 years or so. And yes, I know it's a sacrament. I was taught that it was for forgiveness of sins. And yes, it was done once and only once by Christ. We know that we need to be baptized only once. Christ's offering to us was done only once. But in looking at this and reading about some of the ways they were to sacrifice animals, and I decided I didn't really want to share all of those things, If you go back to the Old Testament, you can see how they had very specific ways that they were to make those sacrifices. But it made me think a little bit more about coming to the Lord's table on a communion Sunday. What it really took for Christ to make that sacrifice. Death on the cross was an extremely painful thing. But when Pastor comes to the altar and consecrates the elements, he says, "This is my body, given unto death for your sins. This is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins." We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But Christ died and did that for us in his name. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you.